Welcome to the Pitcot Podcast. I am your female host, Annabelle Pitcot, and sitting right across from me is our male host and resident expert, Bill Pitcot.
Hey, everyone. It's just great to be here today.
I am so incredibly excited for today's deep dive. Like, genuinely, I have been waiting all week for this.
Me too, honestly.
And today's topic comes directly from the best-selling ebooks on the Pitcot ebook store. It is basically a masterclass in strategy.
A total paradigm shift, really.
Exactly. And you absolutely need to check it out for yourself. Just visit www.pitcot.com/books to download the material we're analyzing today.
Right. Highly recommend grabbing that.
And real quick, before we get into the weeds here, subscribe to our channel if you haven't. Activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating. We appreciate you giving us a 5-star rating to propel this podcast to help others too.
Yes, please do.
Okay, let's unpack this. We are on a mission today to look at a foolproof, highly strategic plan from Pitcot to save $1,000 annually on gifts.
$1,000. Which is, you know, a very significant amount of money for anyone.
It is. And the best part is doing it without looking cheap or feeling like a total Scrooge.
Right. And I want to emphasize that right out of the gate, because this isn't a conversation about being frugal.
No, not at all.
It's entirely about resource management and, well, giving with actual intention.
I love that word, intention, because most of us just don't have a gifting strategy, right? We just have, like, a reaction.
Exactly. You get a calendar alert on your phone the day before a wedding or an anniversary.
Oh, man, the sheer panic.
The panic is real, and that panic creates this massive premium on what we spend.
Totally. So the Pitcot method starts by building what they call the architecture of giving.
Which is such a great phrase.
It really is. And step one is building a comprehensive gift calendar. You basically sit down and write down every single birthday, anniversary, and holiday.
Every single one you are financially responsible for over the whole 12 months.
Right. Even for, like, the awkward cousins you only see maybe twice a decade.
Well, especially those. Because what's fascinating here is those are the exact events that sneak up on you.
Huh. Yeah. The ones you forget about until the week of.
Exactly. They sneak up, they trigger immense guilt, and then you're running to a department store doing this last-minute, overpriced panic buying.
Which we've all done. So the material suggests using an old-school tickler file.
Yeah, the 12 physical folders.
Right, 12 folders on a desk, one for each month. Or if you're like me and you hate paper, it recommends centralized digital tracking.
Which is super easy to set up.
Super easy. You use Notion or Trello or even just a simple notes app on your phone. And you make columns for the budget, the idea, if it's purchased and if it's wrapped.
It's basically like building a house. You need the scaffolding first.
Okay, but I have to push back here for a second, huh? Doesn't all this tracking, you know, sort of ruin the spontaneity and magic of gifting? I mean, tracking people like inventory.
It's a completely natural pushback. But think about it. What you're calling magic is usually just anxiety.
Oh, wow. Okay, fair point.
Right. True spontaneity is a luxury. You need a surplus of time and money for it. By seeing the whole year at once, it creates peace of mind. It stops gift giving from being this constant wallet-draining emergency.
It really takes the cognitive load off.
Exactly. And logistically, it prevents the dreaded duplicate purchase.
Oh my gosh, yes. Finding a wrapped bag in your closet in February and realizing you already bought your niece a gift, but you forgot because you shopped early.
We've all been there.
So once the scaffolding is up, we move to the financial guardrails, the budgets, and the secret fund.
This is where the discipline kicks in.
Yes, strict budgeting. And the rule here is intense. You have to set an exact number. Not like, oh, around $30.
No ranges.
Right. It has to be exactly $25, for example. And if you see a shiny $60 impulse buy, you have to walk away.
You have to walk away because walking away prevents a $400 disaster in December.
It's so hard, though. But it makes sense. And to help with that, they introduce the auto fund.
The auto fund is brilliant.
It's basically setting up a separate savings spot, and you put an automatic $10 to $20 transfer in there every month. So by December, you magically have this $120 to $240 buffer.
It's entirely automated.
It just feels like free money.
Ah,
Like you just found $200 in your winter coat.
Well, yeah. And the psychology there is so important. Because the money is quietly earmarked via auto transfer, it does feel free.
Right. You never actually miss it from your main account.
Exactly. It completely eliminates that terrible panic of wondering, you know, am I dipping into my rent money to buy this present?
Totally. It takes all the stress out. Okay, before we get into the actual shopping, which is my favorite part, I need to take a quick second.
Go for it.
Visit www.pitcot.com. Subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.
Awesome. So let's talk about execution.
Yes. Strategic sourcing. Because timing is literally everything here.
It is the absolute key.
So the guide outlines buying early. Since you have your tracker and you know exactly who needs what, you can hit the January clearance sales.
When prices just hit rock bottom.
Exactly. Or the August back-to-school sales. You buy these premium items and toss them into a plastic gift bin in your closet.
And doing that saves you, what, 30 to 50% easily?
Easily. You can literally put up to $500 back into your pocket just by shopping out of season.
It's basically personal arbitrage.
Mm, it really is. Like being a squirrel, strategically storing premium nuts for winter.
Ah, that's a perfect visual. You are hoarding the good stuff when it's cheap.
Exactly. And then you stack cashbacks on top of that.
Right, the digital tricks.
Yeah, the 30-second trick. You just check browser extensions, use coupon codes, and cash in those forgotten credit card points for gift cards. That easily saves another $200.
It takes almost zero effort, but the ROI is huge.
But okay, let's talk about the actual gifts. Because the Pitcot material pushes for a major shift in what we actually buy.
A paradigm shift.
Meaning over money. They lean so heavily into DIY, highly useful and experiential gifts.
Which is so refreshing.
So refreshing. Like they give this specific example of making homemade vanilla extract.
Oh, I love this one.
Right. You just buy cheap vodka, some real vanilla beans, and put them in a nice glass jar. It costs maybe $3 to make. $3.
And it completely beats a $50 gadget from a department store.
It totally does. Or putting together a $20 hot sauce basket for a friend. Why does a $3 bottle of vanilla feel so much better to receive than a $50 drawer gadget?
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. If we look at human nature, people remember the I thought about you signal.
The signal, right?
Yes. They don't remember the price tag. When you make vanilla, you are signaling that you spent your time and attention on them.
It's the effort.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Small, thoughtful, practical items are the absolute sweet spot of human connection.
And it doesn't even have to be a physical item. The guide goes deep into giving experiences.
To cut down on all the clutter.
Yes. No one needs more clutter. They give the example of getting a pottery class for a niece.
Which is such a cool idea.
Right. Instead of buying her a fast fashion shirt she'll throw away, you give her an experience, she makes a mug, she uses it every day, and she has this lasting memory.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, experiences are immune to what we call hedonic adaptation.
Oh, what does that mean?
Basically, when you buy a physical object, the thrill wears off almost instantly. But memories actually appreciate in value over time.
Wow, that is so true. The memory gets better.
And like you said, it takes up zero space in a landfill.
Speaking of things adding up, let's get into collaborative gifting. Group dynamics can totally destroy a budget.
Oh, big families will bankrupt you if you aren't careful.
Literally. So the pivot here is the gift swap. If you have, say, 12 cousins, instead of buying 12 mediocre gifts.
Which is exhausting.
So exhausting. You do a secret Santa with a strict $20 limit. Your budget drops from $600 down to $20.
It is a massive financial relief.
Yeah.
And the quality of that one gift is so much higher.
Exactly. And you can also do group gifts. Like you use Venmo or PayPal to pool $20 each from 10 people.
Right, to buy something premium.
Yeah, like high-end luggage or a really nice chef's knife. Things no single person could afford alone.
It's brilliant resource pooling.
It totally is. And then there's the marketing magic of subscriptions. Pitcot suggests buying a $30 magazine or a wine subscription.
Because it reminds them of you 12 times a year.
It's genius. Or buying local. Getting exclusive hand-thrown mugs negotiated from a local artisan.
Which supports the community and avoids retail markups.
Totally. Okay, but I have to bring up the section that literally made me gasp.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
The ultimate taboo, re-gifting.
Yes, the forbidden topic.
I mean, I laughed out loud. Because isn't that inherently deceitful, passing something off as your own?
This raises an important question, though. Why do we value the shrink wrap packaging over the item itself?
Right, it's so weird when you think about it. But the guide has incredibly strict rules for this, so you don't ruin your social life.
You have to follow the rules.
Rule one, it must be absolutely new and unused. Rule two, it has to go to a completely different social circle.
No overlap.
No overlap. And rule three, you use a dedicated regifting shelf in your house.
And you shop from that shelf first.
Exactly. And they combine this with secondhand shopping, like finding a $200 espresso machine for $15 at a thrift store.
Just because it doesn't have the original box.
Right. Because someone got it for a wedding and didn't want it.
It's just brilliant resource management and environmental responsibility.
Yeah.
You're keeping perfectly good utility out of the trash.
It completely reframes the whole concept. Okay, so we have the gifts. Let's move to presentation and the January audit.
The aesthetic upgrade.
Yes. You don't need a $5 store-bought bag. The artisanal approach is so much better. Brown craft paper, some simple twine, and maybe a sprig of rosemary tucked in.
It looks bespoke. It looks expensive.
And it takes 10 seconds. But the most important part of the presentation, the absolute highest ROI, is the note.
The handwritten note.
Yes. Taking just 10 minutes to write a thoughtful, specific note, it is the cheapest way to make any gift feel incredibly expensive.
People keep those notes for years. They throw the item away eventually, but they keep the note in a drawer forever.
They really do. And finally, the very last step, the 15-minute January audit.
The debrief.
Right. You sit down with your receipts and you review what flopped, what worked, and where categories like teacher gifts or coworker gifts just ate up the budget.
You treat it like a corporate review. Remove the emotion, look at the data, and calibrate for next year.
So what does this all mean? It means the system actually compounds year after year.
Exactly. It gets easier every single year.
It really does. So looking at the big picture, what is the final ultimate takeaway here?
I think the most provocative thought to leave you with is this. Our society has trained us to equate love with financial sacrifice.
Wow, yes.
We think we have to spend our paycheck to prove we care. But what if the ultimate act of love isn't spending your paycheck, but spending your attention?
Spending your attention. That is so good.
Investing the time to notice what someone actually needs? True generosity shouldn't require jeopardizing your own financial stability.
That is incredibly powerful. And it really changes how you look at the holidays. I mean, we are going to wrap up our analysis there, but you all definitely need to explore this for yourselves. Thank you for listening to PitCop Podcasts. I will leave a link in the description below. Subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. Thank you for being there with us, and don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.